The epistle for today, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, jealousies, angers, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and such like. And concerning these I warn you, as I have warned you, that they who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. And against such things there is no law. And they who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Please stand for the Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will stand by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life a greater thing than the food, and the body than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you of much more value than they? But which of you, by being anxious about it, can add to his stature a single cubit? And as for clothing, why are you anxious? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which flourishes today but tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what are we to put on?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Let's begin with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1922, Sister Josefa Menendez, a religious of the Society of the Sacred Heart, was taken down to hell. She was taken down there in spirit, and she experienced the sufferings of hell. In fact, when she came back, her body charred the clothing she was wearing. In fact, the Society of the Sacred Heart still has these relics of her charred clothing from when she came back. She reported what she saw and heard there. She said, quote, "It seemed to me that the majority of the souls in hell accused themselves of sins of impurity, and that most of the damned are in hell for these sins." Close quote. At one point, she heard the devils plotting, and they said, quote, "The world must go to damnation. Love of pleasure is the door through which you will reach them." Close quote. Now, we're going to be talking about something here. I'm going to be using euphemisms, obviously, because of the topic. We're going to start with looking at a letter that the Most Reverend Bishop Robert Finn, Bishop of Kansas City, St. Joseph, Missouri, wrote. He cites a number of statistics, then we'll talk about the statistics and then what we can do about them. So this letter from Bishop Finn. According to 2004 IFR research, the U.S. revenue for the industry that produces impure images, okay, we know what we're talking about, which industry we're talking about, exceeds the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. impure image revenue is larger than all combined revenues of all professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises. This industry, according to conservative estimates, brings in $57 billion per year, of which the U.S. is responsible for $12 billion. The internet accounted for $2.5 billion of this industry's revenues. Well, in 2004, a little bit dated material here, but so it's probably gotten worse. In 2004, there were 4.2 million bad websites, 32 million bad web pages, and daily there were 68 million search engine requests for impure content. It's 25% of all requests, 2004. The most common ways people have accidentally reached bad things on the web are pop-up windows. 55% of those were impure stuff. Misrepresented links, 52% of those were impure things. And misrepresented or misspelled URLs. Now, how has that affected the religious world? 47% of Christians surveyed said that bad images are a major problem in the home. What about children and the internet? 96% of kids have gone online, 74% have access at home, and 61% of children use the internet on a typical day. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds using the internet have viewed impure images online, most of them while doing their homework. 90%. The average age of first internet exposure to bad images on the web is 11 years old. 11 years old. Some of the acronyms that are used by teens, parents, you may have seen these in text messages or emails. POS, you ever see that? POS, parent over shoulder. In other words, they can't say what they want to say. WTGP, want to go private so that parents can't see what they're going to write. Let's consider a few questions for the parents. Now, parents, how many parents do you think would leave a loaded .357 Magnum with a bullet in the chamber lying around the house, unsupervised, where their children play? How many parents would leave an open bottle of rat poison in the house near their children? Or worse yet, how many parents would keep the rat poison mixed in with their children's daily vitamins and leave it up to the kids to pick out their daily vitamins from among the rat poison pellets? Now, given the obvious answers to those questions, how many parents have internet access where their children can get to it? How many parents let their children surf the net and pick out the websites they want to go to from among the bad sites? How many parents let their children use the internet unsupervised? Exposing the children to the internet unsupervised is worse than letting them pick out what is good on the net, what, you know, the good vitamins from the rat poison pellets. Why? Because it has to do with the death of the soul. Much more serious than the death of a body. Let's consider another question. If we were to arrive home and find a stranger in our home, talking to our children, showing them filthy images, telling them dirty jokes, dirty stories, making fun of our most sacred religion, what would we do? Would we politely ask him to stop, pretty please? Would we just sit there and just hope that he'd stop saying these horrible things? We would just let the poison keep coming and just hope it doesn't actually filter into the children's bodies, into their minds. Or would we get that guy and toss him right out of the house? And you're given the obvious answers to those questions. How many parents have come home and found the children watching something on TV that they shouldn't? How many parents have let some stranger tell them stories, dirty stories, right there in the home, and have just sat there and did nothing about it, hoping it would stop? Who are these strangers? Who are these people in Hollywood that we're letting into our houses to fill our kids' minds with their ideas, their values? What are their values in Hollywood? Has there been some big conversion in Hollywood that now we can trust the movies that are out there, the television shows that are out there, whatever they put out from Hollywood? When did this big conversion take place? If one has the internet in his home and doesn't have an internet filter on his computer, and since these aren't foolproof, huh? If one doesn't sit there and watch his children while they're on the internet, supervise them, such a one would be playing Russian roulette with their children's souls. The same goes for having cable TV and all those channels, even those bad channels, even if it's not those bad channels. There's a lot of junk out there, huh? Now, yes, if we choose to have these things in the house, if you choose to have them in the house, sitting there with your children while they use it, especially if you don't have adequate blocks in place, might be a pain, but keep in mind the pains of hell are eternal. And most of the souls, according to a soul that has been there, most of the souls that are damned are in hell for sins of impurity. The stakes could not be higher. When we go before God, we'll have to answer for each of our children's souls. And fathers, in part, we will have to answer in part for the souls of the wife of the family. We're actually in the business of getting our children to heaven, huh? Not keeping the local internet or cable company in business, huh? We're trying to get our children to heaven. What effort is it not worth for their soul? And recall that any thought, word, desire, act, or omission that is gravely contrary to the law of God is a mortal sin. So what are we talking about here? These are indeed mortal sins. We'll get to why in a second. We've covered a bunch of statistics, but think about what those things mean. Daily, there are 68 million impure search engine requests. Daily, think about how many mortal sins that is. 68 million mortal sins daily. Even if one just has the intention, I'm going to go online and look for impure content. If you've made that intention in your will, even if you don't actually do it, if you intend to do it and you say, I'm going to do it, you've already committed the mortal sin. Remember what our Lord says, if a man looks after a woman to lust after her in his heart, he's already guilty of adultery. 68 million mortal sins. That's like 9/11 happening almost 23,000 times a day. Because the death of the soul is more grievous, much more grievous than the death of the body. So, what do we do? What can we do with this problem? Well, fathers, if you got a 30-06 for Father's Day, a rifle, you might go out and do some target practice with your TV, with your internet router. They make pretty good targets, you know. If you're not willing to do that, you can rig your TV so that there's some blocks in place. I don't know how good these are, okay? I don't watch TV, so I don't know how good these things are. There's things called Clear Play, you know, there's things to filter videos. Again, if you choose to have these things in your house, are these blocks in place? Okay. If you have the internet in your home, if you have to have it in your home for your work, keep the computer in a public part of the house and equip the internet program with a password so your children cannot access the internet unless you log them on. Don't give them the password. Make sure there's a filter on the computer. There's a couple of them. There's one, AFO.net. AFO.net has one filter. There's another one called OpenDNS.com. OpenDNS.com. I don't have any special interest in these filters, but they work. They're decent. I mean, as I say, they're not all foolproof. But also do not assume that these things happen in other people's families. This isn't going to happen in my family. As I mentioned, keep the computer in a public place, especially if you have a problem with it, keep it in a common area that you're not going to be tempted in public to go online. Or if you know you might be tempted in these areas, don't go online when no one else is at home to have some accountability. Before allowing your child to spend the night at a friend's house, why not ask the parents if they have a filter on their computer? Kids never stay up past their bedtime when they know they're supposed to go to bed, right? Some resources. The Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, that's Kansas City, Missouri, okay? Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, Missouri, has a site that includes information, prayers, and other helpful resources about dealing with these issues, these impure things on the internet. The other thing, too, when your children are accidentally exposed, as they invariably will be, whether it's because of some trashy billboard out there, because of something in the supermarket, be sure you debrief them. Now, don't draw their attention to it at the moment it happens. Don't say, look at that, you see, that's a bad thing. You don't do that. You don't want to damage their innocence, obviously. But afterwards, if you know they've been exposed, just say, sort of in general, so that they don't sort of fixate on it. You know, when we're out in public, we might see things or people dressed in certain ways or things that aren't the way they should be, okay? Things are not pure out there, so we have to act differently. They have to know that those things are wrong, because otherwise, if mom and dad don't say anything, they'll see these images, and it'll just not register. Well, I guess mom and dad didn't have an objection to these things. I guess these things must be okay. That'll be what kind of default that they'll conclude. So we want to avoid these things. Be careful not to damage their innocence, but do some kind of debriefing. You might also, too, like, you know, I mentioned these trashy billboards, like we've done at the rectory, call, for example, and I'm going to mention the name, Frazee Paints, that has these bad billboards that you're starting to see all over the place, damaging people's innocence. Give them a call, Frazee Paints, and object. We have to start fighting these things. If we let the impurity culture take over, what's going to happen to the Spirit of God in the world? It'll be driven out. Now, we mentioned about this being a mortal sin. Why is it a mortal sin, these impure images? Remember that every person was made by God. So whether that person is living morally or not, we have to treat them as a child of God. We know that our blessed Lord died, shed his blood for them. He gave all of that for them. Even if they're not accepting it, they're not living that way. He shed his blood for them. So therefore, no one should ever be looked upon as a selfish object of our gratification. Okay? And I know this can be especially a problem with the men. So men, you have to watch your eyes. Okay? This, you have a responsibility to do that. At the same time, women, knowing this is a weakness, okay? And we know it's a weakness particularly for men because they don't sell used cars with, you know, indecent men dressed out there, right? You know, it's the other way because they know there's a weakness there, okay? It's a fault of ours, so we have to watch it, men, okay? But then, ladies, please have compassion, and if you can help us by with modesty and dress, we'll just mention that. But keep in mind, every woman out there and every man out there is a daughter or son of God. Now, if we, who are imperfect fathers, wouldn't tolerate anyone gawking at one of our children with some impure thing in mind, just gawking at them, that's enough, huh? How many fathers out there would tolerate that junk? I don't think we would. Well, how much more God, who is the one after whom all fatherhood is named, as Ephesians says? Guarantee that God, the perfect Father, will not tolerate that. He will not tolerate that. If one has fallen in this area, come to confession. Repent of it. Turn around. As I say, there are some helps available at the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, Missouri website. You can find some resources there. Come to confession, come frequently, you'll get the grace there. As our Lord promised in John 20, the grace is there in the sacrament of confession. Come frequently, and you'll find God all-merciful, ready to forgive. But we have to repent. What are some spiritual helps? Some spiritual helps. Wear the brown scapular, a sign of your devotion to the Blessed Mother. She's going to help her children out, especially if she knows they're weak in this area. Wear a brown scapular with the Blessed St. Benedict's medal. Make frequent use of holy water. Have the practice of the three Hail Marys in the morning and at night. The Mother of Purity is so powerful in crushing the head of this serpent, as was promised in Genesis 3:15. She crushes the head of him. She's all pure. She will help you out if this is an issue by her prayers to her Son, Almighty God, for you. Penances. You can do some penances which help dispose you, which detach one from a love of pleasure. Remember what that demon said. Love of pleasure is the door through which you will reach them. So we can sort of detach ourselves from certain even legitimate pleasures. St. Francis said that he who indulges the flesh in all that is lawful will yield to it in what is sinful. He who indulges the flesh in all that is lawful will yield to it in what is sinful. Why? Because we have that tendency, that concupiscence that leads us towards sin, that inclines us towards sin. So we can fight that by practicing temperance, all right? You know, you don't have to have dessert every day, huh? You can practice temperance like that. Little mortifications at each meal, not putting salt on, not putting ketchup on, things like that, just to mortify the senses. Penances, for example, at the end of your shower. No one's going to know this. At the end of the shower, you might kick on the cold water. It's a little penance, a little physical penance, and it helps us detach from pleasures so that when an illegitimate pleasure is before our eyes, we're not going to cave into it. The same goes with the billboards. We mentioned that before. Why not just avoid looking at any billboards? Even if there's nothing wrong with them, it'll just train the will in a habit of controlling the eyes. I think this would be an especially important habit for men to foster. Just train the eyes not to look at a thing that you want to that's even legitimate. You fight the same way that you train. So if we train our eyes, even in legitimate things, when it's illegitimate, we'll be able to make the right decision, to do the right thing. Also, make frequent confessions, as I mentioned, and fervent holy communions. Last thing, in the moment of temptation, what to do? There's a little memory aid which I'm going to give you to help do some things at the moment when these sorts of temptations arise. There's five words that you can put to memory, and there's something, an action associated with each of those five words. Five words, and I'll explain what this means, okay? Move, bind, blood, saints, image. Now I'll explain what that means. Okay, move. When you first find yourself exposed to an image or tempted, move. Whether it means just your eyes, get your eyes away from that image, or get up, take a walk. If it's a thought that's in your head, just get up, change the scenery, sort of. That sometimes will break the train of thought and get that thought out of your mind. So move. That's the first thing. It's something on the natural level, but then we go to the supernatural. Bind. There's a prayer you can say. Powerful because it uses our Blessed Lord, who is all-powerful, and it uses His holy name. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of impurity and send him to the foot of the cross. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of impurity and send him to the foot of the cross. It's not our own authority. It's our Blessed Lord's authority, the name of Jesus. So move, bind, blood. You want to invoke the precious blood. It's so powerful. When those thoughts come into your mind or when an image comes up, you can just right away say, precious blood of Jesus, wash over my thoughts. Precious blood of Jesus, wash over my thoughts. Then you go to the saints. Okay? Invoke the heavenly artillery, huh? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Saint Maria Goretti, the martyr for purity, pray for me. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Saint Maria Goretti, my guardian angel, pray for me. We need to get that heavenly artillery helping us out. Saint Alphonsus said that the pastor should teach his parishioners to overcome temptations, especially against chastity, by calling on the holy names of Jesus and Mary. This is the best way of fighting temptations. Close quote, Saint Alphonsus, Doctor of the Church. Then there's the last thing, the image. If you get a bad image before your mind, whether it's in the mind or on paper or on the screen, you want to change the image. So you have a default. What happens is the will starts moving toward a perceived good. It's an impure image, all right, but your mind perceives it as a good. You want to switch it to a good image. So you might have some kind of default, you know, some beautiful place that you like to go hiking in or something like that, or something that you can just think about right away, a default that you can think of, you know, the Grand Canyon or something, you know. Something that's a good image, not illegitimate, that will help you take your mind off of it right away. So move, bind, blood, saints, image. The stakes could not be higher. Our children's souls, which we will have to give an account for before God, are at stake. And when most of the damned are in hell for sins of impurity, what effort, what inconvenience is it not worth to spare our children from these things, these eternal threats to their eternal souls? May God bless you, and may Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady Most Pure, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.